Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Therapy. We're going hard today. University of You.
Sometimes you just feel tired. You feel weak. And when you feel weak, you feel like you want to just give up. You got a thirst within you. Try to find that inner strength and just pull that shit out of you and get that motivation to not give up and not be a quitter.
Till I collapse, I'm spilling these raps, long as you feel them. Till the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing them. Cause when I am not, then I'ma stop pinning them. And I am not hip-hop, and I'm just not Eminem. Subliminal thoughts, when I'ma stop spinning them. Women are caught in webs, cinnamon, hawk venom. Adrenaline shots, the penicillin could not get the ill in the stock. Amoxicillin's just not real enough. The criminal cop killing hip-hop, filling a minimal swap. The cop, millions of pop listeners.
All right. Eminem, work it out. Eminem. Blacks from the past. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Spirit Therapy. We're talking about the University of You. Eminem definitely went to the University of You, of him. All these pronouns, you know, to be able to do what he did and come from where he came from. And just keep spitting it like that. I mean, if that's not confidence, I don't know what is. And I'll tell you, oh, by the way, my name is Nicole Tomasini, and happy Monday. So I'll tell you, today, thinking about this topic, I always pick these gigantic topics, and I post these pictures, which all mean a lot to me. I definitely portray what I want to talk about in the best of my ability, and Google for its lovely images. And I saw all of them, the one with the thoughts coming out of the head and then the Library of Alexandria. And I felt like I had to fulfill the Library of Alexandria in an hour. And, you know, that's ridiculous. So that's what I'm going to start with right now, is the planetary alignment that we're in is all about chaos and seeing where your holes are. So I'm going through it because I'm human like all of y'all, and we're all going through it in our own way. So let's see what I can do today. I've taken more notes on this subject and prepared more for this show than probably any other show. And, you know, wow. So we'll see what happens. So let's start with where we're at. With this Pisces. We're in Pisces and we're just coming out of Mercury retrograde. So it's a time of chaos, interesting Pisces chaos. It can be a great thing, a great time for creativity, but it can also, like I said, show us where our holes are, because chaos brings more chaos to the chaotic thing. Law of attraction, bringing things to itself. If it's already rattling, now it's going to rattle some more and maybe fly off while in motion. So, you know, it's a good thing to know, to be prepared for this. You don't want to, you know, worry about it, but I speak about these things for a reason so that you can just sort of say, oh, that's what that is, and this is why I'm feeling this way right now. So, and it's great to see where the holes are, because then we see where the strength is needed and where, you know, we just got to keep it walking until I collapse, like Eminem said. And so, and then Mercury went direct on Friday. It was quite a storm for 3 weeks. And, you know, say what you want about all this cosmic stuff, but it just makes sense. I mean, we listen to the world news. Why wouldn't we listen to the cosmic news? because it's affecting us just like anything else that's happening on the planet. So when Mercury goes direct, he likes to give one last little shoveroo. He likes to mess with us a little bit. If you pay any attention to these retrogrades at the very end, you're like, oh, okay, we're coming out of it. And then whammo, there you go. There's just an extra thank you very much. I think he gets bored. You know, Mercury is the god, the messenger god. He's kind of like our postal service of the cosmos. He's the internet, really. I mean, very fitting for both. And so I think he gets bored with just like shuffling messages back and forth. Like everybody gets to say what they have to say. What about me? I say this. And then, you know, the internet goes down and you're confused. So this happens 3, maybe 4 or 5 times a year. You never know with this guy. And it's kind of like a carnival time. So we're just coming out of it. He's still kind of fiddling with my buttons. I don't know what he's doing to yours. Maybe because I like to call him out on his shenanigans that, you know, he just proves me right. Could also be law of attraction. But, you know, I take this data from my experience and what I've noticed as a scientist collecting, you know, the specimens. So right now, what do we do with these holes that we found? It's going into Pisces. It's a water sign. We're going fish swimming in opposite directions. It's the totality. It's the last sign of the zodiac. So they say that Pisces are the wisest, but also can act like a senile old man that, you know, just tells you the meaning of the universe and then is like, what? What's a puppy? You know, so, and again, it's funny that it follows after talking about Mercury because it's kind of a little bit of the same thing. Pisces also like shenanigans. So it's a time for shenanigans. And when you're an Aries like me, oh, with the shenanigans, definitely, you know, I feel this need to like control things and batten down the hatches and secure any lines that are flopping around. But I realize, especially preparing for the show, that lines are always going to flop around. It's just, you know, it happens. It happens. So the University of You is all about what do you do when that happens to you, which is different from what anyone else is doing. There's millions and billions, however many people are on this planet right now. That's how many University of Yous there are. So when we listen to our cosmic story, then we can prepare better for the flow and the oceans of the unknown territory, because that's also the energy that we have right now. It's a whole new cycle, 26,000-year cycle. And this year, it's really starting to go. Last year, we were like the who, what, the what now, and jockeying for position. So now, you know, we're seeing how these things that we've built, that we're working on, that we want, how do we really get these going? And just one more minute on the cosmic universal pulse right now. It's a lot of earth and water signs. This part is from Tom Lesher, who does the Pele Report on YouTube. Wonderful. I listen to him every week. He's the guy with the astrology. A lot of earth and water. So it's a time to exhale. It's a big let go. We've kind of become as big as we can become right now. And now it's a time to release, allow, listen, to calm into it, which again, for an Aries like me, I don't know about you, but for me, that's difficult, especially when spring is coming. I feel very kinetic. I want to do things. I want it to be warmer outside. I want to feel the sun, you know. But again, to remember where we're at, why I'm feeling this way, why, because, you know, that's one of my lessons, is to be able to relax into all kinds of situations, even when you don't know what's going on or it doesn't feel familiar. That should be a class in the University of You, when things don't feel familiar. So, yeah. So that's basically where we are. But it's also a time for new ideas, new ways to do things. And it's not about doing it alone right now. It's about not only how are we talking with ourselves, but how are we communicating with others? And how can we utilize the help that we have around us, our friends, our family, whatever our community is, to our advantage? Because that's one of the biggest things we're doing right now with this new 26,000-year cycle, is to build the community that we want, not that the government has built or the banks have built. Because let's face it, those are the communities that kind of rule the world. And so if we're going to start something new, we have to start it with our own communities and then branch around the world. Everybody starts their own community. Well, it's going to be a bunch of communities. That's villages. That's how things get done, isn't it? So to start small, start where we are and start with ourselves. And then this was Tom's mantra. He gives a mantra at the end for every week from the planetary positions. And this week's is, if I don't stop and reflect on what's happened, but get lost in creating and controlling the action, I don't learn the lessons or see the wisdom that leads to my healing and soul evolution. And I think that's exactly what we're doing right now, and why this topic, the University of You, came up this week, because we have to learn how to deal with ourselves, and no external school is really going to be able to complete that for you or for anyone fully. It has to come from us. It has to come from what we are and our soul's journey. And how do we work with our soul in this body at this time as this person doing these things? It's funny. It's kind of like acting. I mean, that was the first acting lesson that I had when I came here to New York City. Our acting teacher told us, you know, all acting is, it's walking and talking in this situation as this person, reacting moment to moment. That's it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Of course, you can just imagine, you know, think of the extreme roles and the well-played roles, the subtle roles, all the acting that you've seen, you know. But where does that come from? That comes from your centeredness with yourself. Or some actors are such vessels that they can put on any kind of personality on top of that. But again, it's very interesting. Everybody's got their own way. Like Keanu Reeves, I really like him. I think he's great. I mean, Matrix, one of my all-time favorite movies of all time. And he's great. And then he can also be, what's his name, Bill and Ted's Adventure. And he kind of has that like vacantness and then just fills himself with that. So that's one way. Other people, you know, like method, like Christian Bale, that's pretty hardcore. He dives right into everything and whatever, let's just go, like warrior style, maybe even a little insane. But that's what I'm saying, for us all to have our own way of working with us. Hi, Gia. How you doing? Gia's typing in the chat room. Especially when people have put you on a pedestal. So interesting that you say that, Gia, because later on I'm going to transition into Who Really Was Jesus Christ? And it's by Alan Watts. And he talks about how Jesus was put on a pedestal and kicked upstairs. It's fascinating, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Oh, it's great. Eminem and talk about Jesus all in the same show, only here on Spirit Therapy. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the University of U. I also, for the first time, used my computer. I usually write things out, so I'm going between the writing and the typing, you know, finding my way, just like all of us, about what works the best, especially when you're shifting around ideas. That's so interesting. Like, how do you shift around ideas? Do you use Post-its? Do you have a little book? Is everything in your iPhone? You know, do you type it or do you record it? There's so many ways to take down your ideas. And if we're looking at the university of us, the school of us, our soul's journey, these are all our artifacts. These are all our scrolls in the Library of Alexandria. So it's an interesting thing to think about, you know, keeping journals or not, or where is it in the technology? Is it better to still go a little old school and use the good old pen and paper? Ah, Gia keeps journals. Yeah, I think women are usually pretty good at that, to make a broad statement. But I think we're taught to sort of record things, and I think that's a lot of our nature, is to process things. We need to, you know, sit in it for a while and feel it out, which is really great. Oh, that's the other big influence that's happening now. I think it's important to mention that that Venus is going retrograde and then squaring, or, you know, lining up with the Black Moon Lilith, which basically it embodies the dark female, the repressed, the taken advantage of, the angry, but also like all the deep dark, all the deep ocean of, that's Black Moon Lilith. So these two are lining up, and then Mars is going retrograde and also lining up, which is obviously the masculine, the doer, the action taker, or the aggressor, the warrior. And all three of them are making this trine right now. So it's like the elegant, beautiful, loving female lining up with the dark side of the female. And then we've got the male in there, in the mix. And everybody is in retrograde and sort of in this like chill out mode. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Planet waves, astrologers say the hand of God, Jupiter and Saturn now too. Yeah, Saturn is also about, is in retrograde, is in grow up, you know, learn how to do your thing, learn your wisdom. So, yeah, man, there's a lot going on. Amazing. So, yeah, so I broke down, hang on one second. So I broke down University of U into the subjects that we learn in college or even throughout our life: English, math, science, history, PE. So I thought I'd go one by one here and sort of pontificate. If anyone would like to call in and add, please do, or write in like Gia does in the chat room. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. Jane J. also, I see you there. So let's think about English. English is stories, writing, and expressing ourselves, like we were just talking about. Interesting. So how do we express ourselves? I think that's interesting right now, especially if you're a woman, but I think I'm going to go equally with also for men, because men that are conscious are understanding that it's not all about aggression, and how to be a little more sensitive to what, you know, they're saying in the world around them and still get their point across and still feel comfortable in their manhood, whatever they define that to be. And meanwhile, women have been coming into their power, and, you know, it's a new thing, kind of like teenagers with Porsches, at least in terms of equality. You know, we're all working on years of and past our lifetimes of oppression. And so how do we say what we need to say without being some sort of bitchy controlling thing and feel everything that we feel? So that idea of how do we do this, again, I think I'm going to pose a lot of questions. You're going to have to answer these, a lot of these, for yourself. I just think these are the questions that you're going to have to answer in your textbook. How about that? So how do you communicate with yourself and how do you communicate with others? Also, when love is involved, you know, if you're in love with someone, if you are feeling attracted, if you're feeling lust for someone, also, where do you go with your communication, also with yourself? I think that's very interesting to look at these days because it's going to be all about the relationships. And we definitely want our love relationships to be communicative, respectful, loving, and fun, right? I mean, isn't that the point? Let's see. And so many foreign speakers of English. And what is language portraying? Interesting. That's huge. Thanks, Gia. Whenever I mumble like that, I'm reading what Gia has said or anyone else. The language, freeing the language and freeing the labels from ourselves, that also will have something to do with Jesus being labeled as this thing and the flip of one word, the God, the Son of God, or a Son of God. Very interesting. It's a little cliffhanger for you. So also in English, we're writing our story. So how is our story flowing? Like, are we aware of our story, first of all? Like, can we look at our journey as a hero's journey, as the myth that we are living? That's fun. If you haven't done that, definitely do that. If you meditate at all, or you're interested in sitting quietly and telling yourself some sort of awesome story and get in touch with yourself, that's great. If the way I do it is I just look at my story, and usually it comes from some sort of point of view, like what I'm dealing with, something that reminded me of something, or even I go to the archetypes that I identify with, like Kuan Yin and Athena, just to name a couple, and sort of look at their story, look at my story, you know, bring it down to earth. So anyway you do it, that's kind of a taste in how I do it, but anyway you do it, that is awesome. And you can really see, like, how awesome you are. And have been, because I believe that if you're attracted to these other archetypes, it's because you are that. You are that. Like, you literally are that. Because everything happens at the same time, even though we travel linearly through time. It's all happening right now, man. Isn't that awesome? Hold on, little beverage. Yeah. Nice. Gia's right there. Yeah, that Jesus said that all we were all sons of God. Yep. Getting there. So yeah, and also if we live in a vibrational universe, which we do, and we are vibrational beings, then what is the story that we're telling ourselves? You know, is it a nice flow to our plot, or is it, you know, ripe with problems and fragmented sentences and bring me down worry. I mean, we all do it. I honestly, I would like to think that there are people on this planet that are not, that worry never. I don't know, maybe if you're a monk on a mountain, maybe, probably. I mean, that would be easy, right? Because at the end of the day, what are you really worrying about? You know, just making it happen. Maybe I'm wrong, but the rest of us, worry's going to happen. It's just a matter of what you do when it comes. And also, I think worry, whatever. The sooner you can get out of worry, I think, is the better. But in terms of, like, thinking about something and going, you know, what is that? I think that, and not feeling the positive vibration about something or just not feeling it at all in a moment, though, that's when we grow. That's that in the psychology of education, they talk about the moment of disequilibrium between, like, when a child knows what a dog is, and because it's built a box for dog. Dog is this, and we call it a dog. Okay, dog. And then it sees a giraffe, and it says dog. And then somebody says, no, that's a giraffe. And in that moment where they say no, the kid goes into a, what? I don't know what this is. What is that? And has to make a giraffe box. But, oh, that's not a dog. That's a giraffe. Giraffe box. And we call it giraffe. All right. So you can see, I mean, it's a very basic example, but you can see how we all learn, you know, that we all have that moment like, what? What is that? It's just what we do with it. So I think, no fear, it sucks, literally. Yes, it does, doesn't it? But again, fear is always right there. You can always turn and go, ooh, could this be scary? And fear goes, it's my moment. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you kind of watch like, oh, yeah. And then you go, oh, that's just fear. Ridiculous. I mean, that's the best case scenario, right? It's what we all strive for. But old Star Trek has a lot of allegory. That's funny. That was one of the pictures that I posted was, what's his name? Patrick Stewart, awesome Jean-Luc Picard staring at what I see as the Library of Alexandria. But anyway, so that's what I think in terms of English. Now, math is numbers, equations, formulas, ones and zeros, how we work things out. You know, they're the if I'm at A and I want to get to B, what's C that's going to get me there? Or how do I get to C, whatever? Math was never really my strong point. Even though I do love, I think some of us just have a different way of looking at math. I didn't like school math. How about that? I'll say that. Because sacred geometry and those things and numbers and symbols and what they mean, that is pretty cool to me. So anyway, so the math to me, this subject with ourselves is, you know, how do we work it out? For instance, you know, when Mr. Fear knocks on the door, you open that window and here he is and it's everywhere or just always in that corner, Mr. Fear, you know, what do you do? I think this is a time for math because kind of like the art of war. It's like, all right, let's look at the terrain. Let's look at what's happening. What's the subject matter? What's attacking here? And what are my strengths and weaknesses? You know, it's kind of calculating. It is kind of. It is. It's calculating your response, your what do I do next. So to look at how we do that, and again, it's very specific to us. I think especially if we're interesting people, you know, a lot of interesting people get labeled things like, you know, you have a learning disability or, you know, anything that's like, you're not like the masses and the textbooks. Well, hallelujah. I mean, how else are we going to evolve? We don't have some free thinkers. People outside of the box a little bit. So this is your, because math, you can go in so many different directions. You can go literal. Also math, I think of in terms of like cleaning, like math with your brain. I read somewhere that the brain can only focus on so many things, obviously, at any given moment, but also that clutter can slow down the brain. Very interesting, because like I had a friend who was OCD, And I was never really bothered by clutter because they were all useful clutters to me. So, it didn't really bug me, but he would put everything in order. And, but I realized after watching him do that for a while, eventually when I started to clean up the clutter that was in my head, I started to need to clean up the clutter around me. And now I see the value of decluttering for sure. So anyway, so that's the idea of math, really. Science, how does everything work? What, you know, foods and visuals and all these things. I thought I needed someone who was so clean. I tell myself to think of how in balance I am not in a bad position. I'm not sure what that means. But anyway, yeah, the science to me is also, you know, one of the things, because I kind of want to get to the Jesus thing pretty quickly. So science is what's my balance of my external reality and my inner world, my true self, as well as the cosmic influences and energies. So that's, you know, all the different levels of how we're tuning in and what our energy is. And what am I feeding myself in terms of food, visuals, books, internet, TV, people, surroundings, sleep, fluids? You know, how am I calibrating myself? And what is the science of my body? I think we'll talk about that a little later. But, you know, getting into how your body works, what kind of exercise you need. I guess I'll just say it right now because it's quick. You know, not everybody's a runner. Not everybody is going to be a gym bunny. Like, you know, you got to find your thing. And I've done, you know, my things, and I realized something was still missing, and it was ballet from when I was a kid. And that stretching and that elongated. So now, you know, I'm not going to take a ballet class right now. I know the general moves. I really just want to feel the feeling. So I've incorporated that into my workout. And it really makes a difference. I can feel my body better. I feel like parts that I kind of was disconnected to, now I'm more connected to. So think about what you enjoyed as a kid and then see if you can't incorporate something like that. Even like horseback riding. All right, you might not have a horse. I used to love horseback riding. Obviously, no horse in New York City, sitting in the garage. So what do you do? Well, if you ever jumped, you can get in that three-point position, get into that squat. That's a good workout. So that's what I'm saying. Thinking outside of the box. And then that brings me to history, like incorporating the story that is your history, your own personal history, things that you liked, things that you didn't like. You can clean out the clutter of the things you don't like. And embrace your own history, which also brings me back to the past lives also, if you believe in it, whatever, it's up to you. But, you know, this story of us in this lifetime and many others, and how to incorporate who you are with the archetypes and the histories that you feel drawn to. Because, again, we don't like anything that isn't connected to us, that doesn't mean something to us. So if it means something to us, it is us. It's another way of looking at this oneness that we're all interested in, well, should be. Let's just say we all are interested in the oneness. That's part of it. Becoming one with ourselves, we can become one with the others. So we'll talk about some of that later, but I think I'm going to play this Jesus because in my notes I wrote, you know, the guidance counselor. Do you visit the guidance counselor at your university of you? Do you even know where the office is? Do you like the guidance counselor, or do you think the guidance counselor is full of shit? I mean, think about you know, the voice that you have in your own head. That's your guidance counselor. Well, I think we should really go left right now. How about you? And you go, no, or, oh, yes. And then, you know, we all know that voice. Most people, it sounds like it's always that soft, ever-loving voice that goes, three, please. And then you listen to it. It's right. You don't listen to it. You go, damn, I should have listened to that voice. So getting more in touch with that voice, I think it's very possible for us to get that voice to be more than just a soft whisper in there and to become one with us, to become our own ruling class with us, with all our other parts and all our other subjects. So the guidance counselor, to me, segues right into Jesus. It's your divine self. It's your true self, your soul, your God, all that is, your Brahma, your Buddha, your Jesus, whatever you want to call it. So, but I like this idea of Jesus because, you know, like we talked about and Gia mentioned, free the words. How about we free Jesus from what we've been told are the teachings and the important things, when really the grand message here is what we're all looking for, that we're all part of God. So let's go. Alan Watts. It's about 10 minutes, but it's very fun. And Alan Watts, love his sense of humor. So let's just get to it.
So when somebody speaks as an authority, that means speaks as the author. That's all it means. It's a statement of which you are the author, and therefore for which you assume responsibility. That is to speak with authority. And to be original is likewise not to be freaky, but to speak from the origin. That is what Christians mean when they say to speak in the Spirit, to have your mouth possessed by the Holy Spirit, as they believe the mouth of Jesus was possessed by the Holy Spirit. So the gospel of Jesus, which of course was hushed up from its inception, was that wake up everybody and find out who you are. Asking that, again in the Gospel of St. John, they, pointing to his disciples, may be one, even as you, Father, and I are one. And when he was accused of blasphemy, the Jews took up stones to stone him, you know. And he said, many good works have I shown you from the Father, and from which of these do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we don't stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now listen to the reply. He said, is it not written in your law, I have said ye are gods? And if that is what the scripture says, it can't be denied. So why do you tell me I blaspheme because I say I am a son of God? No answer. Because I said I am a son of God. It doesn't say that in your King James translation. It says I am the son of God. And you'll see the thee italicized, and you will think that that is for emphasis if you don't realize that passages in italics in the King James Bible are interpolations by the translators. In Greek, leaving out the definite article is equivalent of having the indefinite article. Weos you is a son of God, not oios you. So son of, in Hebrew and in Arabic, means of the nature of. When we call someone a son of a bitch, we mean bitchy. And so if you call someone a son of God, you mean divine. Of the nature of God. As the Nicene Creed subsequently defined it, he is of one substance with the Father. But what happened was that this being blasphemy for the Jews, it became blasphemy for the Christians, for anyone else than Jesus to say it. They said, okay, baby, it was so with you, but there it stops. No more of this business. And as a result of that, Jesus was made irrelevant by pedestalization, by being kicked upstairs. In spite of the fact that he said, greater works than these that I do, shall you do? Oh no, upstairs with you, baby, because we just can't have that sort of thing going on in a monarchical universe. We are not going to have democracy in the kingdom of heaven. So, this is why the gospel is impossible, because we are supposed to follow the example of Christ, where he says, for example, be not anxious for the morrow. Do not worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall wear. God will take care of you. Doesn't he take care of the birds? Don't the flowers grow? They're wonderful. They're crazy. They're great. What are you worrying about? I've never heard a sermon preached on that. Never. Because it's totally subversive. The economy would crash. So they say, oh yes, that's all very well, but he was the boss's son. See, he had that colossal advantage. Take up your cross and follow him. Hey, but wait a minute, I don't know I'm going to be resurrected 3 days later. I can't do all those miracles. He had an unfair advantage. So how could you ask us to follow the example of Christ? But supposing he didn't have an unfair advantage. Supposing that what was true about Jesus as a Son of God is true of us. Only a few of us know it. And we are pretty careful to be quiet about it, lest the same thing happen to us as happened to Jesus. And indeed it often does. And you know, you get these people from Arkansas or Texas or anywhere in the Bible Belt who never heard of the Upanishads, and they have this cosmic consciousness experience, and they realize that that's what happened to Jesus. They say, I'm Jesus, come back. Well, everybody says to them, you aren't Jesus. It's pretty obvious you're not Jesus. You're just Joe Dougs. Well, he says that's what they said about Jesus. He has a perfect argument, except they say, you're not much of a Jesus. They say, all right, if you're Jesus, command that these stones be made bread. And he says, a wicked and deceitful generation seeketh for a sign, and there shall no sign be given. Now, why talk about this? Is it interesting? Is it important for the human being to realize that in some sense of the word, whatever it means, he is God or one with God? As is plainly taught by the Hindus, hinted at by the Buddhists, only they don't like to put it out as a concept, in case people will use the concept as an idol to hang on to. They want you to find out for yourself and not believe in it. And certainly the Taoists understand it, the Sufis understand it, a lot of people understand it. But so what? Well, the importance of it is this, that to know that you are God is another way of saying that you feel completely with this universe. You feel profoundly rooted in it and connected with it. You feel, in other words, that the whole energy which expresses itself in the galaxies is intimate. It is not something to which you are a stranger, but it is that with which you, whatever that is, are intimately bound up. That in your seeing, your hearing, your talking, your thinking, your moving, you express that which it is which moves the sun and other stars. And if you don't know that, If you don't feel that, well, naturally you feel alien. You feel a stranger in the world. And if you feel a stranger, you feel hostile. And therefore, you start to bulldoze things about, to beat it up, and to try and make the world submit to your will, and you become a real troublemaker. So I feel also one reason why you become hostile is that feeling that you were just brought into this place, that your father and mother went up to some monkey business that they probably shouldn't have done, or it was bad rubber goods, and as a result of this, here you are, and you didn't ask to be here. Well, you always feel you can turn around and blame them. You can blame somebody. You can blame the government. You can blame the rascals. You can blame the cheaters. Always supposing you yourself aren't a rascal, which is a long odds. You always can blame someone and say, I didn't ask for it. Take it away. And yet, very few people are all too ready to take it away. Camus said that the only serious philosophical problem is whether or not to commit suicide. And if you don't say take it away, what are you going to do? You've really got to assume responsibility for it. You've got to say yes to what happens. It's my karma. And that doesn't mean merely, there are many misinterpretations of the doctrine of karma. It's usually and popularly understood that what happens to you, either fortunate or unfortunate, is the result of good or bad deeds in a previous life. Well, that's popular superstition. The real...
So I used this audio hijack to get the clips, and apparently once you get to 10 minutes, it goes, you got to buy this. And it starts giving you more and more static. But what he says at the end about karma is, you know, it's superstitious to say, oh, you know, it's like, you heard him. He says karma is really, it's doing. It just means doing. Your karma is your doing. And at the very end, he says, so it's really not a book of who done it. It's more of a book of you've done it. I really love. I mean, that's the university of you. You done it. And that's why this talk with about Jesus, who he really was, is so important. It really rings true to me. Because, like you said, suppose Jesus didn't have an unfair advantage. Let's suppose, I think that's the basis here. Suppose we all have the advantage, quote unquote, that Jesus had. Because we do. We're all sons of God, as we've explained. It's not the Son of God, it's a Son of God. Amazing how that one word change puts it outside of ourselves. It's such a sly little, but guess what? You know, that's all it is, really. Is that little switch over. But all you need to do is switch it back over and realize that he was saying, and when he said this and greater will you do beyond me. And I forget what show it was, if it was The Consciousness Shift or another one of mine, but we talked about hold on one second. Oh, we talked about that we're all our own Jesus and we're all our own Savior. We're saving ourselves and saving others that are saving themselves, that are saving others. You know, that's the network that we're building here. So to free the words, free Jesus, free Jesus. Amazing. I mean, even Jesus has been in jail when you think about it like that. So, and then the flip side of it is the blame. You know, I think this, well, he was the Son of God, I'm not. So, you know, that's a nice concept to sort of shoot for, but chances of me getting there are slim to none, so fuck it, right? And then, well, I'm not Jesus, so yeah, I shot him, or I'm not Jesus, so, you know, I mean, and then that's the blame game, and usually those people are like, well, it's the government, it's this fault, it's that fault, the government's fault, it's that guy's fault. You know, that's the beginning of the shift over, and you know, when you think about it that way, you can see how it happened, like how somewhere along the line we just gave over our power here because like we didn't want to carry around the responsibility, maybe, I don't know, pontification, but anyway, if you're blaming that blame, you can blame someone else. Your parents got up to some no good business. What did he say? Rubber goods. These are rubber goods. You know, that recording, I think Alan was talking in the 60s or 70s. I think he died like a while ago. But to me, he could have been talking yesterday. I mean, this guy's really talking to me. I spend a lot of time with Alan in the Library of Alexandria that we call the internet. So yeah, I think that connection with – and then we can understand more what this whole concept of Christ consciousness is. You know, you hear this word thrown around. What does that really mean? I mean, Christ consciousness, I think it's that love, what the teaching really was. Be nice to each other. Do unto your neighbor as you would like done to you. I think that's a great, simple, easy, would you like someone to do this to you? No, then don't do it. Period. Right? And you know, love is the almighty, and it's not about the material goods. Don't lose your way, people. You know, don't build temples and icons on me, because what are you doing? You should be worshiping yourself. I think that's the Eminem song that I played until I collapsed. It's, you know, everyone should feel that motivated about yourself. Until the very end, I will always stick up for myself. I think that also has been hijacked about the fight, the fighting, fight. No, fight to find yourself. And for that, you have to go to war with yourself. There's also sparring class and fencing available at the University of U. You'll have the finest teachers and the best equipment and an orchestra playing in the corner or whatever you'd like to hear. Death metal. You all have your own music. You can all channel in, right? I mean, to me, that's what the University of U would look like. Sounds pretty awesome to me. I don't know about you. What do you think, Gia? Or Jane J? I see you both sitting there. freeing Jesus. Honestly, amazing. Who would have ever thought I would have said this? I mean, I stopped going to church when I was a teenager, and I felt like the church at the priest's time sounded like a used car salesman. I was like, I don't know about this guy. Talking about everybody's a sinner. I don't know. It sounds like shenanigans to me. And I was out. And, you know, my mother was always about Jesus and Gandhi, and I heard these words and sayings, never really got mad at those. Like, I could never really argue with those. But, you know, sometimes you have to separate the message from the church, the building, that, you know, whatever. Sometimes you don't have to separate it. But if it's not great, you need to be able to separate it, you know. But it's amazing how these people's words, you can't really ever get mad at the words. Like, you know, and I'm an Aries. I'll fight it if you can. When my mother was like, well, like Jesus said and said it, I was like, all right, I won't do that anymore. Amazing. Gia's typing a lot. Let me see what's happening. There is a huge thing to be able to visit the icons of self, Nicole. Is it necessary? It shouldn't be. The icons of self. But it is still a huge part of humanity. Icons of self. Yeah, well, I think that's the bridge, Gia. Like, I think to be able to free these icons, whoever is other than you that you feel has some sort of message that is great, you feel it, to bring them to a more personal level with yourself, to relate them as, all right, what if I was sitting at the bar with Muhammad and what would the conversation be? You know, or I was sitting with Buddha, maybe a Bodhisattva, maybe, you know, or Shiva. Sit down next to them at the bar, whatever your bar is, but, you know, a meeting place that is, that has something to do with reality is my point. Something that brings it down to earth so that you can understand that any of these icons, any of these myths can be you and can be related to. I think that's why story is so important and why when a civilization loses its myth, loses its storyline, it loses its way, you know, and becomes, I was watching last night, it's called Matter of Heart, and it's a documentary about Carl Jung, who I realize has the same initials as Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that's anything, I'm just saying. And then I had a dream last night about Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung, and when I woke up, that's when I realized, I was like, wow, they all have the same initials as Jesus Christ, who I'm playing on the show. But anyway, that's beside the point. I don't know what to do with that. It's just a thing that happened. So, but Matters of the Heart, fascinating. She was talking about us at the very end, the way that we can lose our way as a society. And that was the example that she gave with losing our connection to the bigger selves that we see around us. I'll put it that way. Whew, that was a lot of talking. Hold on. All right. So by saying that, let's page down here. I told this whole story in my notes about the guy that you don't want to be. The guy that, you know, the college, like your University of You experience that I would suggest not having. This is your warning brochure that you get on the campus tour. So, you know, the guy that's working full time at a job, is going to school full time, doesn't go to tutors, won't ask for help, cleans up his own mess, like takes care of himself, but all just himself, no time for any kind of relationship with another person. And like they're on this mission, like this prize at the end of, I don't know how long, sometimes 10, 20, 30 years down the road, like what's the gain for that guy, you know, to just white knuckle it. I mean, it happens. It looks like they get a lot done. I don't know. Maybe it just looks like that. Do they? They must, I guess. Is it exciting? I can see where it may be exciting. You know, sometimes I feel like I was going to say Einstein, but I know for a fact that's not true. Like Einstein was not that kind of driven. Like it's more maybe like Hitler. I don't know. There's probably other nicer examples. Maybe. I don't know. It just sounds too hardcore. Because, by the way, Einstein was known for, you know, came up with the theory of relativity by staring out the window and watching people run for a bus and thinking about time and things like that. So, you know. Anyway, that's a side note. But so, you know, the white knuckle guy going for the money, and I'm telling this extreme story so that we can apply it to ourselves as well. Like, why is it important to enjoy every moment? Yeah, it sounds nice. Sounds like a lovely idea, of course. But why? Because when we can enjoy more of it, we can have more enjoyable than we're on this vibration. And why not? Well, a lot of us have very good reasons. Well, because I have to make money and I have to do this and there are things that need to be accomplished. So, you know, I'm just going to strap my boots up and grip my teeth and get in it and just get it done. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that toots our warrior nature. That's what that is. Just do it. You know, our innovative and our grind, the work ethic, right? But to what extent? Sometimes that's fun. If it's not fun, I suggest stopping. That should be a rule of the University of You. If it doesn't feel good, stop, figure out why, stop, drop, and roll, and find yourself, you know, at least to some extent, and then go. So, yeah. So just a warning, you know, about that guy. You can catch yourself and go, ooh, I'm kind of being that guy. Why am I being that guy? You know, I think that guy happens, but, you know, put it in perspective. That's all I'm saying. All right. And then I'm going to wrap it up with, dun, dun, dun. My friend told me that I need sound bites. Like what? And I'm trying to figure out like what those would be. Like if somebody gave me a keyboard, like right now, would it be like, da, 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 you know, or wah, wah, I don't know. Send me suggestions if you have good ideas on sound bites. Right now it's just the sound of me, you know, inhaling a beverage. True sound bite. So then all the other things in the University of You, the extracurricular and electives perspective, and using the tools that are around you. So I, while I was thinking about this topic, I felt the inkling to use the goddess, what is it called? Goddess Guidance Oracle Cards by Doreen Virtue. Pretty awesome, I have to say, and definitely came right out with it. And I said, is there anything else that I should talk about with the University of You? And these are the cards that I got, which I translated into classes. The Art School, which was Sarasvati, who says, express yourself through creative activities. So that's the arts right there, you know, cultivating the arts within ourselves so that we can have a well-rounded education of ourselves, whatever that may be. I think, you know, just if you have a love of music, you don't have to write a note ever. But you know which songs you like, make a mixtape. Why not? It's so easy these days, you know, make a mixtape. See, that's a fun exercise, actually. Think anywhere from 5, 6, 10, 12 songs and tell a story. Come up with some sort of title. What would this be used for? Is this for working out? Is this for preparing for battle? Is this, you know, chill out, relax, smooth down? What is this? So that's creative, and you don't have to lift a finger, a color. So anything like that. Good idea. Love and Sex Ed was the next one. The card was Isolt, and the love you have shared is eternal regardless of the situation. Very interesting. I think it's Gia said cowbell. Yes. All right, totally. That's going to be button number one is the cowbell, because why? We all need more cowbell, which sometimes could be like a triangle, you know, maybe I could do a triangle. Anyway, that's good. Keep them coming, Gia. And Jane, let me know if you have any thoughts on what the soundbite should be. So, love. Sounds like it's going to be a big subject. It's not. It's really just feel the love. Feel the love. Ground the love. Remember, love yourself, and then you can love the world. And the more you keep for yourself, the more you can give. So just, you know, that love and strength, I think, actually are walking hand in hand here. So, you know, you can translate what class you think that would be. But depends on your school, I would imagine. And then home and feng shui learning. That was Vespa. It was something about people moving in or whatever. But the idea of the home, you know, home ec for the 21st century that all sexes should take, right? Just how do you deal with your surroundings? Like, how does your surrounding reflect you? Whatever that is, if you can justify it to yourself, like, you don't have to, you know, your home is the way it is. That's it. It's funny when friends would apologize the minute I would walk into their house. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, for what? Because the house is a mess. All right, so the house is a mess. I have never given a rat's ass about your mess. Because first of all, I don't live here. Like, whatever. As long as it's not terribly dirty. It can be kind of dirty. I don't mind. I mean, how else are you going to keep your immune system up if you don't come in contact with anything? But, you know, there's a limit. But you know, apologizing for, like, a few shirts on the floor and, like, you know, some dirty dishes. I'm like, come on, man, really? Whose criteria is this? So, you know, finding your own feng shui in your home. And then Don't Back Down was Bridget. I think that's that interesting female Venus, could be Black Moon Lilith, depending. Bridget, the warrior native. But she's like Celtic. Oh, Gia, help me out if you remember Bridget. She's like Nordic, right? Anyway, stand up for what you believe is right. And I think that's about finding our voice, finding what you think is right. I have a friend that anything he says, it sounds like it's the truth. It's fact. And I realize sometimes when he talks, I'm like, wait a minute, this is your opinion, and you're selling it to me like it's fact, like it's the Rosetta Stone. And he's such a good, like, preacher on a pulpit kind of, you know. I'm like, yeah. So, but I don't know. I think just that concept of, because at the end of the day, isn't it all kind of just what we think from our perspective? I mean, even the news, you can say, okay, it's unbiased, but it's still coming from some person's point of view that was there at that time. Like, what if they were somebody else over here at that time from that point of view? Would it be a different story? Maybe, maybe not. I've been watching a lot of Twilight Zones. They put up all 138 episodes on Netflix. So I'm like on, I don't know, 32. So if these start to pop into the spirit therapies, you'll know why. 138, that's a lot. Wait, Gia answered me. Wait, Goddess of Spring, Bridget. Nice. She's all about fidelity, fecundity, and about winning. She's going to answer. Night calorie. Huh. Yes, all about winning. That makes sense. And then the last two was Leap of Faith. Take a risk and put your heart's true desire into action. I think that has to do with confidence. That's confidence class. That's like debate class, maybe. You know, it's like if you can teach your point of view, if you can express your point of view, then it's a point of view. You can decide whether you like it or not. You can decide whether it's everything you had to say or not. But that's your, it's a perfectly viable standpoint, whatever you just said, as long as you can say it. So, you know, it's also important for women. You know, like, look at these dudes or women that just, you know, own it without being a douche. You know, I think that's a category. Without, like, being like, all right, we got it, you know. So, and then unconditional love. Love yourself, others, in every situation, no matter what the outward appearances may be. That was Mary Magdalene. I really like that. I think that was unconditional love. Well, that's Jesus's message. It's Gandhi's message. It's kind of the whole message on all levels. Unconditional love, not just love. Unfortunately, in English, we only have one word for love. Whereas there are other languages that have many words for love, like agape, this idea of, you know, non-sexual, very strong, bonding love, everlasting love, cosmic shaking love, you know. We have to add all kinds of adjectives. But the idea of unconditional love is also loving the shadow, that matter of heart documentary about Carl Jung. It's basically the interview a lot of different analysts that worked with him closely. And they talk about, a lot of them talk about the shadow side, working with the shadow side, because with there's every coin, there's the other side. Yeah, that's one of my cards, I think. Well, all right. I take it as it comes. I think this is the card with the, if, yeah. Nothing is more important than that I feel good if I want to find a reason now to feel good. Well, that's not what I was saying, but this is these are the cards. I was going to talk about using your tools. Like I just read to you what I used from the goddess cards, and then these are the money and law of attraction cards by Esther Hicks. And so it talks a lot about your law of attraction, your vibration. With everything in the universe, there's two sides. So to embrace the unconditional love, to bring it back around, with everything, because also we can, that's is like relax. That's like yoga class, right? That's just relax into the pose, into whatever position we're in, into whatever's happening with unconditional love, especially for myself being in this situation. So there you go. Wow. Gia said, my younger son has unconditional love and he's really great to have around. Nice. Yeah, the children these days, really. And they're built-in bullshit detectors. I mean, it really great. Like, we have to accept them for the way that they are. They're teaching us something about our society right now. My friend has a daughter who, you know, she meets you, you're a friend of my dad. Like, I don't know you. She's just going to look at you. There's no smiles and yes, thank you very much. She's like, I don't know you and I just got here. So, you know, hang on. And I respect that. I respect that. You know, as adults, we don't expect to fall in love with each other, with every person that we meet, you know. I think that's important. So anyway, just to say that. But all right, that was a lot of ranting. Let's see. Did we cover everything with the University of You? Da-da-da-da. Confidence, habits. Habits. I'll leave you with habits. Understanding our own habits, understanding why we have these habits without judgment. Nice transition from unconditional love. And accepting our habits, that our habits are part of who we are. And if we don't want to accept this habit, just releasing it, just allowing it to make its own exit instead of trying to kick it out. I think that's too hard right now. I don't know. If you're some sort of awesome warrior and you can kick it out right now, then kick it out. Then you probably already did it, you know. But if there's something in your life that you're just like, I just can't convince myself that this is a good idea, just let it, just sort of distance yourself a little bit. This could use a sound bite right here, just a wah, 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 or someone like walking down a hallway and the footsteps slowly get fainter and fainter. Kind of like that. That would be my suggestion for it. Thanks, Gia. Great advice. That's nice. Awesome. So there you go. Study your own habits. That's a lot of fun also. Also like studying your own myth. I think the University of You should be really fun. I was very careful not to say anything about like, you know, working at your studies and the, you know, being a, I think, again, free the words from, you know, learning, teaching, studying. We are our own teachers. I just spend a lot of time thinking about these things and applying these things and seeing how they work. And when they work, I bring them to you. So, and see what the spirit brings. So, so the last thing I'll say is a quote from that I saw my friend post on Facebook just before the show started. And I think I'm going to leave you with this. Thank you so much, Gia and Jane G, for hanging out with Jane J. Sorry, Jane Jicka JJ, for hanging out with me and all the listeners in the archives. Also, check out daughtersofisis.com, our sponsor, Gwen Awesomeness. If you're looking for tools to help you with this journey, check out Daughters of Isis and call Gwen. Really, no matter who you are, you can be like, hi, I don't know you, but I heard you on this random radio show. And I'm working with this, and I would like something like this. And you can make a purchase for like $20 and get the thing you need. So definitely call her. She's really cool to talk to. So thanks, Jane. And yeah, and also check out Tom Lesher. I talk about him a lot. Pele Report, and his website is New Paradigm Astrology. .com. So check that out. He puts them out every Wednesday. So here I am. I'm going to leave you with this. Thank you so much. Peace and love. This is a poem from Marilyn Monroe called Make the Ordinary Come Alive. Do not ask your children to strive for extraordinary lives. Such striving may seem admirable, but it is a way of foolishness. Help them instead to find the wonder and the marvel of an ordinary life. Show them the joy of tasting tomatoes, apples, and pears. Show them how to cry when pets and people die. Show them the infinite pleasure in the touch of a hand. And make the ordinary come alive for them. The extraordinary will take care of itself. Awesome. Thank you, Marilyn, for my closing statement. Peace and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you on the next one. Love yourself. Love the world. Good night.